you know, sponsor a bill this year to try and take this on. In Florida already, we regulate charities. Florida statute 496.404 defines, you know, charities and solicitations, and, you know, requires that charities register with the state before they solicit funds from Floridians. I think it might be as simple as expanding that to make sure that everyone understands, you know, that panhandling is essentially, it's an act of commerce, the same way any kind of charitable activity is an act of commerce. And it's able to be regulated by the state. And I think, you know, if you do it without the proper licensure, you can be criminally charged and prosecuted the same way as anybody else can.
That was State Representative Alex Andrade, District 2. We talked with him last hour. This evolving conversation we've been having ever since Friday with Mike Kimbrell and then Bob Johnson and Sheriff Chip Simmons and Sheriff Johnson about the issue of panhandling and what we can do. And he says, well, maybe we can just expand the state's regulatory oversight of charitable fundraising into covering even individuals who are fundraising for themselves. Once money changes hands, it's a different thing. I know yesterday Mayor Reeves, D.C. Reeves, was kind of asked about some of this stuff in his press conference. He joins us now. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so I know it's just kind of, you know, fresh first time you're hearing it, but any reaction or thought to maybe that approach to regulating or prohibiting panhandling by Representative Andrade? Not yet, Senator, but Representative Andrade.
Right. Yeah, you know, look, I think, you know, to keep this all in context, and I said this yesterday, you have to understand, and if you don't know a little of my personal background, you know, I've been around this issue for as long as I can remember. My mom's been involved in this, started the women's program at the Waterfront Mission. And so I've also been a downtown business owner, and I've seen the quality of life crimes that happen because of panhandling and things like that as well. So, you know, I have a pretty well-rounded experience through this issue. And what I'll tell you is the vast majority of the most passionate home advocates for homeless and homeless reduction will tell you that panhandling is an issue. So that's one thing that, regardless of where you sit on this topic, which is can be very, very divisive and very complex, I think when it comes to panhandling, which is people who do not want help and they want to sit at the corner and make a living by just asking for money and not looking for help or a way to find opportunity, that becomes a problem for cities and municipalities. Now, to your point, if there was an automatic way to do this, trust me, I'm going to go see 8 more mayors today. They would all be copying what we did, or we would be copying what they did, and different laws and different states, of course, that certainly change things. But at the end of the day, I think panhandling is an issue for cities all over this country, and you're actually for the first time starting to see bipartisan support with things like camping and some of the after effects of the Boise decision that have really controlled a lot of what you could or couldn't do as a municipality or a county. And so you're starting to see, even in California, in Oregon, you're starting to see Republicans and Democrats and leadership start to say there's some unintended consequences of this precedent, that's causing a lot of issues.
And you know, the one thing I would say is just, you know, if I talk to my law enforcement friends, they're like, man, I wish we had something we could do. I wish we had enforcement we could take. I feel like our hands are tied, but we want to do something. And, you know, political leaders in recognition of what the population believes, which is this is a problem. This is not acceptable. We love the First Amendment, but we cannot have this kind of behavior overrunning our cities and ruining it. And we've got to do something. The political will is there, as you say, on both sides of the aisle to do something. And so I think, you know, something will be done. The question is, you know, will it be effective? And anyway, I was eager to, you know, talk to Representative Andrade about what he says he's going to try to do. And, you know, hey, maybe we find a solution. That would be fantastic. And I love that you have that background. And I have to say, like, I want to give. We tithe, like, you know, 10% of my income goes to helping poverty relief directly to agencies that work on this stuff. And I hate panhandling. Like, you can do both. You know, you can love and help the homeless or the poor and hate panhandling too.
Correct. And I think the issue lies, in my opinion, and Representative Andrade is an attorney. You know, he'll be able to speak at an expert level to this. But I know the general issue has always been, what's the difference between me and you exchanging money on the corner of Palo Fox and Garden Street and you and someone else that might be homeless? And it's making that delineation. And I don't know that path will solve that or absolve that issue. Maybe it will. But again, practically speaking, at the end of the day, the people that work every day, work overtime, nights, weekends to try to help people on the street also have the same frustration because it takes away from those efforts, right? There are a few that really do take away from the efforts of many in this community, many charitable people in this community. So certainly any solution we could come up with that, I certainly support.
And just to be clear, in case people didn't hear you accurately, you and I have never stood on the edge of the corner of a street that ends in Fox and exchanged money for any purpose ever.
That's correct.
just to be clear.
Yeah, if you tuned in right then, that would be
good. What are Andrew and DC doing downtown? You are headed to Boston this morning and took time out of your schedule to share with us. You're going back, as you said, to talk to a bunch of mayors and talk about city design and the Hollis T. Williams stormwater project, right?
Yeah, it's hosted by the mayor of Boston, and very grateful to be one of eight mayors in the country. It's I'm joining the mayor of Detroit, Oakland, Chattanooga, St. Pete, and some others. And ultimately, I mean, the real way to describe it is like a think tank is I'm going to present this project and say, here's where we are. Great news. We've gotten $30 million of funding. How would you write an RFP? Who's done a stormwater park before? And it's not only the eight mayors, it's eight of the best designers in the world. And what's really cool about this project is they know what the administration of this project, of this of MICD, they know what I'm presenting, so they actually hand select. So more than likely, they're going to have design experts that have built massive stormwater parks that all over the world that will be listening. So they kind of tailor the experts to what the projects that are going to be presented. Actually, I'm the first mayor to go tomorrow morning, and so we get about an hour and a half and say, here's our project, here's where we are. What would you be thinking about if you're the mayor, if you're in public works, if you're our city engineer? So you can imagine that's going to be extremely valuable. And as I said yesterday, probably the most decorated collection of people in terms of the experience of doing something like this to ever look at this project at one time. And so that's very, very exciting.
No, it's fantastic. It really is. You you talked yesterday during your press conference. You began with talking about the smoke detectors and the installation, and you seemed pretty, upset might not be the right word, but like emotionally moved by contemplating the idea of poor people in Pensacola that don't have smoke alarms and therefore kids might be at risk.
Yeah. I was out there with them on Saturday, and we've had one of the worst 12-month periods having nothing to do with our amazing fire department.
Just, right.
We've had one of the worst 12-month periods in terms of fire, structure fires, house fires, and fire-related deaths in the city in a long, long time. And that includes children. And although those are all under their own investigations, I'm not speaking to any of those specifically. What I can say is, like the national statistic, the vast majority of fire-related deaths, the leading cause is not having a smoke alarm. And you just think about that. A $10 item that goes in your house that we're coming in and putting in for free could be the difference between the survival of a child that lives in the city of Pensacola, and you think about what little effort that is to get that in versus what the potential impact could be. I mean, it is the return on that time and that $10 item is infinite. And so, I mean, it's pretty amazing getting to walk around with all our awesome firefighters last Saturday, and we'll continue to do this on Saturdays. But we put in 32 on the spot, brought a drill, our firefighters got on a ladder, put them in, and above these children's bedrooms and all that. And then there were several houses I went in personally that had none. I mean, think about that, with multiple children, not just a broken one, not an old one, zero. And so, it's one of those cool things where you can spend a few hours out in your community and you know for a fact that that could be a life and death, investment of time, and so. So very fortunate to do that, and it was very powerful to think about that we have people in this city that don't have those. It really only motivates us to continue to do it, and that's what we'll be doing a lot of Saturdays, not only The next one on the 21st in the Westside Garden District, but also more Saturdays to come.
Yeah, I feel the same way about the like the co-sleeping and the crib care and the proper positioning for a baby, yep. because it's the same thing. You can save lives just by getting people to have, in your case, a smoke alarm or talking about that kind of stuff, because it's so unnecessary how ignorance can cause death, and totally unnecessary for that to be the case. Man, we don't even have time to get into I wanted to let's just do this one little quick thing and tell people the city is not considering selling Bay Bluffs Park. Instead, you're looking at a conservation declaration for Bay Bluffs Park that would actually, in perpetuity, protect it from being sold. Did I get that right?
That's correct. As I said, you know, when you it's just a fair warning. I used to be in journalism. A fair warning is don't get your news from the Facebook comments.
No kidding.
Stereotypes about the mayor. It is, you know, listen to credible people and credible sources who actually ask.
Right.
And the truth of the matter is, you know, I grew up playing there. They're not in 1 million years would I ever be selling or privatizing Bay Bluffs Park.
Absolutely.
As I said yesterday, the day before I do that, I will resign from this office. That will never happen under my watch. And as a matter of fact, if the concern is beyond me, that everyone believes me, then I'll protect that too. And so that's so I'm meeting on the 19th with Conservation Florida with Tracy there, and I was on their board actually. For a little while before I'd gotten into the campaign. And so, because they'd started a Northwest Florida chapter. So I've got good relationships with them. We're going to talk about this exact issue. They're very excited about this idea. And we'll try to protect it for generations to come. Could help us with some other potential funding sources and all that. So we're very excited.
All right. The frivolous topic, where I always like to end here on something a little bit fun. First question, when a movie is based on true events, but turns out not to really be all that accurate, does that bother you or do you still enjoy the movie?
It does a little bit. Yeah, when I see, you know, when it says true events, then I know it's probably like 15% true. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
There's ways that they word it that make sure that you know that it's probably all fictional. But it does bother me a little bit.
All right. Does DC eat moldy cheese? If so, do you have a preference of which kind?
Very little. Maybe a little bit of blue.
Okay.
In small bites.
Tell me you're not like a mild cheddar and American is exotic times for you kind of person, though.
Right, yeah. Pepper jack is when, you know, spice things up on the weekend.
Last thing, I'm going to put you in the middle of a big controversy that you're not asking for.
Oh, boy.
Should America convert to metric?
Oh, yeah, I heard you talking about this yesterday. I mean, I don't know. You know, there's so many things. Hey, the brewery business, we already are there. So I was a little attuned to that, but probably not, man. I mean, look, it's hard enough for me to, you know, get an email out to the citizens and make sure that everybody hears it. I can't even imagine taking that on, but
it
sounds like you're an avid supporter of this.
Now, I believe in it philosophically, but you'll get me to do it over my dead body. So that's where I'm at. Totally conflicted and irrational. DC Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola, safe travels to Boston. Hope you have a great time and bring back excellent lessons for us here in Pensacola. Thank you as always for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.